reading to you from the 5th chapter of Matthew and with the 43rd verse. And you have heard that it was said, ye shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Lisa Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic and gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and my life has never been the same. I sure don't compare myself to the Apostle Paul, I'll guarantee you. But I want you to know my love for the Lord is like Paul. I want to win people so bad. I want people to know that there's a life hereafter, eternal life, life without end. Now, he promises those who will repent and accept Christ, they can have a life without end. Their name will be written in the Lamb Book of Life. Oh, my friend, that's the greatest book you'll ever get in your life. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the second chapter of Revelation, and let's begin reading with the first verse. That's second chapter of Revelation. Let's begin reading with the first verse. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampshades, say this, I know your deeds, and your toil, and your perseverance, that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of this place unless you repent. Yet this you do have that you hate, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, lately you've been burdening my heart to speak on churches and what's going on in the world today. We don't want to put the churches down, Lord, but they need encouragement. The pastors need encouragement. And you said, woe unto that pastor that will not visit my flock. Oh, God, there's a lot of lazy pastors in the world. There's a lot of lazy evangelists. There's a lot of lazy Christians, period. And there's no place in Christendom for lazy Christians. Bless this message, and I'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've titled this, Reviving a Retreating Church. Now, there were 7 three-dimensional letters came from Jesus. The letters are to 7 churches in existence at that time. Now, the letter presents a prophetic picture of the church. Now, the letters deal with problems in all churches at all times. Friends, I recall when I was saved in 1955 in Seattle, Washington, we were meeting in a schoolhouse, big schoolhouse, and we were running about 130, 140. The thing that stood out in my mind was the morning that I went to that church for the first time. My family, my children were sick, and so my wife couldn't go with me. This man met me out in the front of the church, out in the vestibule, and he said, I'm Deacon so-and-so, and who are you? I said, my name is Cecil Moe. Well, he immediately knew that I was the town drunk, that I had just been converted to Christ. He come up, shook my hand, and hugged my neck. Friends, that was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Had that church not loved me and my wife, had they not taken me into the fold and acted just like I was one of the flock, I would have never made it. I've got a friend he's a good friend, but I introduced him to Christ just before my cancer operation. And he's done good for a year. My, his business has picked up, and he's just doing great. Well, he fell off the wagon the other day and got picked up for DUI. Now, he's in deep trouble, big trouble. He immediately called me. I don't know, he called me because I introduced him to Christ, but he knew I was a friend. But I did not condone what he did. I certainly did not. And I said, you got to repent, my friend, and get back in the right relationship with God, or you're a sunk. Well, anyway, your church had better be known as a friendly church. Not on your sign out in front of your church, but you really must be friendly. If you expect your church to grow, if you expect something good to happen, you better show yourself friendly. Now, the letters deal with the problems in all churches at all times. This congregation is also three-dimensional. We are individuals, so we have individual needs. We are members of families, so we have family needs. And we're members of this congregation, so we share church needs. Now, the Lord reveals a plan to revive a retreating church. What good would it be if he didn't have a plan? God has always had a plan. The time he created heaven and earth, he had a plan. He wanted a family. And so he created man out of dust. And then from his side, he took a rib and created woman. Well, what happened? Everything was going beautiful. And I guess that Garden of Eden, I can't even envision what a beautiful place that must have been. Every fruit tree known unto man, vegetables, animals, and all they had to do was just till the soil. I mean, all they had to do was keep checking it out and doing this and that. And then in the evening, it was required that Adam and Eve was to meet in the cool of the evening, and God the Father would come and fellowship with them. But because of sin, because Adam and Eve sinned against God and believed the devil instead of believing the Lord, they were cast forth out of the garden. What a shame. Well, from that day, sin entered into our world. We've been fighting with this sin problem ever since, and we will be fighting with it until the rapture of the church. Now, the Lord praises the church. I read in verse 1 and 3. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, say this, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Well, that's okay. God said, I know thy works. Friends, let me tell you something. We got a problem. Christians really believe that the gospel is just for the pastor or the evangelist. Every born-again person who takes the name of Jesus has a job to do. I don't care what you think. Do you think going to church with your little Bible and sitting down and listening to a sermon from your pastor put your nickels in the eye and offering tray and go home. You think that's it? If that's all you got, my dear friends, I fear for you. I fear that you're doomed and damned and on the road to hell. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become as new. We're new people. He takes out the heart of flesh and gives us, takes out the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. My star in the morning, he takes out the heart of flesh, a stone and gives the heart of flesh. Now, isn't that something? I got so confused, tongue-tied. But see, preacher's not perfect either. And boy, I'm sure not. Jesus began this letter by praising the church for its positive points, and he will. He'll praise your church for the things that you do that are positive. But if you're a lazy church, I'm telling you, you fall in the category that Jesus was speaking about, if you're lazy. There's no place in Christendom for lazy Christians or tight-fisted Christians. You know why you're having a time financially, many of you, not all of you? Because you've been robbing from God. That's right. He can't trust you with money because you just spend it on yourself. But friends, listen, when you're in the will of God, it was hard for me when I first started tithing. It was very hard for me because I began to make some big money. And but it's proportional. If you make $1, you give 10 cents, and on and on and on. There, this is a good example for all of us. We have enough powders in the church. We need praisers. Did you hear me? Ah, the church got, somebody got their tail twisted because they didn't paint the bathroom white. They wanted yellow or pink or green. And they powdered in. Many of them left the church over that. I remember when I was a pastor of a mission church in Corbett, Oregon. Well, we were going to establish a church. And I told the person what we were going to name the church. She said, if you name the church that name, I'm going to leave the church and take my tithe. She was our organist. And she, I think it was, our tithe was $35 a month. And my stars, back in the 60s, that was tremendous money. I told her, well, ma'am, if that's the way you feel, then you better take your tithe and go. Oh, she got saved about 3 months later in another church. Maybe that because I wasn't preaching. Oh, yes, I was. Our Lord commended a church for labor, patience, and faithfulness. You know, that's important to be faithful, and it's sure important to be patient, which each of us are a little short on that. I am too. You know, I want things done right now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I want to do it right now. And I don't, I tell you, it irks me when people are late for appointments. That just irks me to pieces. If you have an appointment with a person, you should be there at least 5 minutes before that appointment's due. You don't know when you're going to get in heavy traffic, do you? Oh, you don't. Well, anyway, praise is positive. Complaining is negative. And I read in Philippians 4, 6, 8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellent, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Boy, I tell you, that puts it pretty down, don't it? Well, look for good things about your church, your marriage, your family. You know, we had some really weak people in our church, the first church that I joined after I was saved. In fact, we had one man in there I'll never forget as long as I live. I just loved him and his wife and his children. And when he prayed, it just seemed like heaven came down to earth. But one day he came to me and he said, Brother Moe, did you know our pastor's telling us a lie? Well, I was stunned. Hey, I've only been a Christian 4 months, but here's a man that I looked up to and says our preacher's lying. I said, well, Brother Roberts, what is he lying about? Well, he says that you can't lose your salvation. Well, I said, you can't, can you? Oh, yes, you can. Sure you can. He forgot when God said, I will give unto you life eternal, time without end. No man shall pluck thee out of my hand. But on, John 3:16. But anyway, it stunned me. It shocked me. He could have destroyed my faith if I hadn't have really prayed about it. And so one Sunday, our pastor got up and he said, you know, I went to Southwestern Seminary in Texas, and he says one of the better seminaries in America. And they have the best teachers in the world. But he said, if you really, really, really want to know something, the best teacher in the world is God's Holy Spirit. So if you need to find out something and you're troubled about it, you ask him to reveal that truth to you. Man, I could not wait to get home. And I went home, and man, I got into the book. It seemed like every scripture I turned to was eternal security. My, I was so happy. Now, God did that for me. And this man, he thought he was doing right. Now, let me tell you something else he did to me that stunned me. See, I told you I didn't quit smoking after I was saved. I was convicted. Oh, my, yes, I was convicted, but I just couldn't give him up, I thought. Well, one time, Brother Roberts and his wife and my wife was going to a meeting, and I said, Brother Roberts, I've got a confession to make to you. And he said, what's that, Brother Mo? I said, I still smoke. And he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a cigarette and lit it. He said, there's nothing wrong with smoking. Well, I knew right then and there he was dead wrong, because God's Holy Spirit convicted me of it. Not the church, not the preacher, but the Lord himself. Well, God gave me a victory over it finally when I was willing to surrender everything. We have to surrender everything if we're going to grow in the Lord. We have to give it all up. Well, the church looked good, excuse me, but had a serious problem. It is important to face up to our problems. The problem is in the church, and it was declining, their declining love. Now listen, years ago I belonged to a church over here in Littleton, good-sized church, and we had a song leader and his wife, and he was a choir director, but anyway, she started messing around with one of the piano players in the church. It was very obvious. They were youth. They worked with the youth. And one time they went up in the mountains to ski, and they disappeared for 5 hours. The young people didn't know where that. Anyway, so I sat down, and I wrote them both a letter. And I told them I knew what was going on, and I said, please, please nip this in the bud. You're both married. You're going to destroy lives of your children. Well, let me tell you what happened. One day I received a phone call from my pastor. And he asked me to come to the church. So I went over to church, and here was his song leader's wife. And he said, you're a dirty liar, Cecil Moe. Well, I was not a lying. I told the truth. And I said, I love your wife, and I love this other brother. I sure do, and I love you. But I said, this has got to stop, or our church is doomed. We cannot continue to let this sin go on. And it seemed like we were never going to get, we were an impasse. He wouldn't give. And so finally I said, look, brother, I know how hurt you are. Why don't we just kneel here as brothers and let's talk to Jesus? I knelt there and started to pray, and he hit me up alongside the head with his fist. Well, the Adamic nature popped up, and I grabbed him and shoved him up against a door and started choking him. I'm sorry I did that. But I let him go, and I told him, I said, don't ever hit a man when he's talking to Jesus. That's a dangerous situation. I've had that happen to me twice in my life when I was praying for someone. They haul up and smack me over the head. But it's important, my friends, to face up to you. Now, I don't mean we're supposed to be cops and run around checking everybody, but if there's problems in this church, you better get busy and stop it. Now, the problem in this church was their declining love. Now, let's face it, when love declines in our walk with God, we stray from him. Our devotional life suffers. It no longer has priority. Compromising becomes common. We toy with temptation. Well, when love declines in a marriage, what happens? It becomes drudgery. The warmth of that marriage is gone and something's missing. Oh, I've seen it happen so many times. A lot of times these old bald-headed dudes, I'm not making fun of bald-headed people, but them and their wife, they come to a parting of the ways, been married for 25 years. He sees a younger girl, a nice, beautiful young woman. He divorces his wife. He buys her a big diamond ring, buys her a convertible, and they're happy thereafter. Baloney, they're happy. Oh, my friends, infidelity don't work. It just don't work. The warmth of that marriage is gone, and there is something missing. Now, duty replaces delight. Two people merely endure to the end. And listen, friends, when love declines in a church, everything becomes mechanical. People attend but give little attention. Religion becomes an exercise of repeating routines. You know what? Religion is something you do over and over and over. Religion and Christianity is not the same thing. Now, the Lord revealed a prescription for revival in the church. Remember, was there a better time in your walk with God? Sure. Think about it, friends. Can you remember that day that you gave your heart to Christ? My, the happiest day in your whole life. I wept like a baby. You don't have to weep when you get saved, but I was such a sinner, and I was so sorry for what I'd done, and God forgave me. Were you once more eager to serve, to evangelize, to attend? Was your prayer life once more meaningful and more powerful? Listen, here's exactly the prescription. Repent means to turn around, make an about face, return, come back to where you once were as a Christian, a husband, a wife, or a member. Oh, friends, listen. Declining love is sad, but restored love makes us glad. A revival awaits those who remember, repent, and return. Listen to me. I'll tell you something that really galls me, and I'll tell you right up front. These churches that do not sing out of their songbook, they have these little ditties, they call them. I can't stand them. I like those songs, Power in the Blood, Victory in Jesus, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, The Old Rugged Cross. Those are songs that bring us back to the cross. They're songs that people can get saved by singing them even. Yes, sirree. But no. And we're trying to just go for the college kids. Well, some of our college kids are the worst people in the world, and our professors are the biggest atheists in the world. That's right, in many schools. Listen, I'm for the young people. Hey, listen, I love young people. We've got to minister to them. But we got to minister to the old people too, dear friends. Oh, I tell you, on my radio broadcast, I get calls from little old ladies and men, Christians. They'll say, oh, Cecil, I used to have an hour broadcast. I just love your music. I play 3 or 4 or 5 good songs because you talk about Jesus. Friends, if we're not talking about Jesus, we're not talking about the right person. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor, because it's the responsibility of the pastor to lead his flock. He needs to teach him how to visit. He needs to teach him how to do personal evangelism. He needs to teach him why they're to tithe, why they're to be baptized, and why they're to take the Lord's Supper. Some churches don't take the Lord's Supper once a year. That's wrong. In my eyes, it's wrong, because they're beginning to forget their first love. Friends, listen to me. You might be listening to this broadcast tonight and you say, well, I got hurt in our church and I've never went back. Well, my heart goes out to you, my sister, my brother. My heart goes out to you, because it's terrible when your family's torn up, especially your Christian family. But you can get back. You can go back and you can make a stand in your church. If you've got a pastor that won't visit, you got a pastor that won't train and won't teach, you have the privilege to pray that person out. and pray that God will send you a man of God who cares. That's your prerogative, and you should do it. Well, friends, if you don't know Jesus, the most important thing is right now for you to stop and say, Lord, I got a tugging in my heart, and I don't understand it. And I do want to go to heaven. Well, here's a prayer that can change your life. It's only words if you don't repent. And here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm asking to come into my heart and save me tonight. In Jesus' sake, amen. If you did that, call me. 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll certainly not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Won't you give me a call? 303-471-8534. If you can't afford that call, you call me collect. I'll pay for it, okay? God bless you. Folks, for the last half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you so much for listening. Please pray for me and my wife as we go to prison this next week. And I want you to pray for your church and your pastor. Oh, my stars, these pastors are getting discouraged. They're not people not getting saved. There's nobody testifying in the church, no testimony meetings. No wonder people are getting discouraged. Well, friends, you pray for them, pray for us, pray for yourself. And if you forgot your first love, you repent and come back, and God will forgive you. So until this time next Sunday, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet, keep looking up. All for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.